Upper elementary students who struggle with reading comprehension really is a challenge that teachers across the nation face. When a child or group of children are far below grade level in proficiency for both reading and reading comprehension, this is a cause for concern and we need to take immediate action. One of the causes is the foundational skills just not being present when students arrive into our classes for third grade, fourth grade, and even fifth grade. So this episode is going to cover the seven fundamental challenges and will offer some support for you to be able to try out with your students as a way to try to offset those challenges and begin building them with confidence and getting them to the goal of mastery. If you are ready to learn strategies for kids who lack the background knowledge, the vocabulary, the text structures, decoding, fluency, I will meet you inside. Welcome to the Literacy Dive Podcast, a podcast for educators who want to take a deeper dive into all things reading and writing instruction. I'm your host, Megan, a true lover of all things literacy. Join me each week as we dive into teaching tips, engaging ideas, and actionable step-by-step strategies and examples to help you close the gap and lead confidently with best practices. I'm all about keeping things simple and digestible so that you can implement what you learn here as soon as tomorrow. Are you ready? Let's dive in. Welcome back to the Literacy Dive Podcast. We are going to jump into this big category of the fundamental and those foundational skills that must be present for a student to truly be proficient when it comes to reading and reading comprehension. Before I get started, I want to go ahead and let you know that in the show notes, you will be able to find a free activity set that I put together for you that is on context clues. You can find it by typing in the URL, theliteracydive.com/contextclues into your browser, or you can head to the show notes page in your app, your podcast player, or straight on my website. You'll also find some helpful activities, some reading comprehension supplemental supports that you might be interested in to support your students in the various areas that they might need a little bit of extra support in. So anything that I reference in these episodes, you will be able to find linked in the show notes. So let's go ahead and get started. Now, there is not enough time on this podcast for me to share everything that I want to share about these strategies and interventions to support students in their reading comprehension. However, I am going to give you some ideas, some food for thought, and some action steps to further dive into and explore with your grade level team, maybe if you have a literacy coach or specialist on campus, or even your administration. As always, I want to say loud and clear, I am more than happy to discuss my experience if you have a specific concern with a student or group of students. And I will guide and support you as best I can through the process of navigation that I would take in your situation to get that desired result, which is the increase of that solid reading comprehension. So if you do have questions after you hear this episode, feel free to email me at megan@theliteracydive.com if you have any specific questions. But again, if I went super in depth with all of these concepts, you would literally be listening for hours, and I just don't want to do that to you. But I am going to give you some nuggets that you can take away, and so let's go ahead and get started now. Last week in episode 167, I covered three main areas, the big categories that lead to a weakened state of reading comprehension, and those areas were a lack of foundation or those fundamental reading skills not being mastered, different cognitive factors that students are challenged with, and then environmental factors that students face that are truly out of our control and out of their control, but still can be supported through intervention and with time. I also shared 14 causes for problematic reading comprehension when looking at the upper elementary grades. And while 14 seems like a lot, It really was a quick episode, just highlighting the fact that there are a multitude of factors that can be categorized, and depending on the cause, the intervention will be different to truly target that challenge and work our way to mastery. So make sure you listen to that episode to hear about my students' experiences and to see where yours might fall. But today we are going to begin by unpacking the first area, or that first big umbrella component of the three, and that is the fundamentals of reading comprehension. The factors and causes that I mentioned last week that were tied to this area are limited vocabulary, poor decoding skills, lack of background knowledge, weak fluency, inadequate comprehension strategies, difficulty with text structure, and then I also threw in just an overall lack of engagement or motivation. Addressing the fundamental and the academic challenges that can limit reading comprehension requires targeted strategies and interventions, so I'm going to dive into strategies that you can implement to help your students overcome these foundational reading challenges. So first up is limited vocabulary. One thing that you can do here is focus on explicit vocabulary instruction. You will want to teach new vocabulary directly using definitions, examples, and practice exercises. This can be in the form of being very direct and intentional, and that is because you want to make sure that you are actually giving vocabulary the time and exposure that it needs for the student to obtain mastery with it. So that is just going to be painting the picture of how can you make this vocabulary term very tangible, and how can you make it become a part of your students' language and vocabulary that they might be able to use in the future. Contextual learning is going to be a really big strategy here, and this is where you will want to encourage students to deduce the meaning of new words from the context. This may be pulling from various context clues, like seeing the definition or examples in the text, or recognizing that there are synonyms or antonyms present, or that there might be a word part or a root, a prefix or a suffix that might be present within that word that students can grasp onto and begin trying to formulate meaning for that word. You want your students to speak and explain how they arrived at that meaning, and that is going to help them to apply that same type of structure to future vocabulary that they are trying to figure out. An example of this could be if they had the sentence, "The cat scurried when it saw the dog and hurried up the tree." Well, in that sentence, hurried is a synonym of that tricky word, scurried. And what we know is that cats are typically scared of dogs, so it probably tried to get up that tree really quickly or fast or immediately for safety. This begins building comprehension and understanding so that students have to share their thinking as much as possible, and that's going to support that vocabulary development along with the comprehension as well. You can also be really intentional with the forms of multimedia that you bring into your classroom and that you decide to have students use. You can integrate videos, pictures, and online resources to give meaning to the new vocabulary that you want students to master. You might think about displaying an image on the board and labeling those different parts. Yes, even in upper elementary, labeling is really, really a great strategy to do. So you can label the different items within that picture, and you can also label displays around the room or different items in your classroom. This is going to support your ELL, ESL learners, or those who are lacking a strong vocabulary, but it also can be used as a spelling device for students who want to use that word in writing. So if it's right there, accessible and readily attainable for them to grasp, they can start using that as a reference, and that strategy right there of labeling things in your room can then support all of your students. Next, I want to move over to poor decoding skills. If your students are struggling in this area, you will want to make sure that you have phonics instruction or access to any of these strategies for these students. If they're missing it, they have to go back to the basics before they can move up and do more complex strategies, and breakaparts with words. So you would want to offer systematic and explicit phonics instruction to improve these decoding skills. And for decoding practice, you could use word games, phoneme manipulation activities, and reading materials that are tailored to the student's reading level or even a reading level right below. Because a lot of the time when I want students to practice with some of these decoding skills, I really don't want them to have to do a whole lot of work. So if it's truly decoding, there should be words that they already have learned the concepts and the principles of, and they can quickly be able to decode and master that word automatically. Your school may have access to this phonics material, and lower grades would definitely be a place to look and visit in your school for that support and the resources for this particular area, because that is a big focus of kindergarten, first grade, second grade. But from here, you just need opportunities for practice, practice, practice for a few minutes each day, giving them that routine, systematic practice and approach. And then once they learn that skill, you can move up into their journey of reading. When it comes to the lack of background knowledge, you will want to focus on pre-reading activities. This is going to be where you use discussions or videos or pictures to build that background knowledge before you begin reading that text. So sometimes it's not enough just to say, there's going to be a sparrow in this book. You will then want to add a picture of it or a video of that sparrow to let them see it, let them experience it, and let them put that knowledge right into their brain bank before they start reading and comprehending that text. So never overlook or underestimate the power of having a discussion, having peers and students share with each other, showing them videos, showing them pictures, just for the purpose of building that background knowledge. You will also want to think about ways that you can integrate other content areas. So what I love about this is that you can incorporate texts from science or social studies and other content areas solely to build knowledge across those different disciplines that they have to learn. This is almost like a kill two birds with one stone type of approach, because if you are learning about metamorphosis, you can easily incorporate insects or amphibians that undergo this process of transformation into your read aloud. Or bring it into your small group sessions if you can find some texts that are about that. You can also show pictures and video that will help to strengthen or introduce that concept of metamorphosis. So being able just to integrate it all over the place is going to help them, because they can start getting it in different capacities and then making that connection much quicker. Next up, we just have an intentional focus on encouraging reading widely. And what I mean by this is just that focus of being able to promote reading a variety of texts, which could include nonfiction, all to expand a student's knowledge base. Fiction, I like to say, is safe, but the other genres are going to provide those different levels of depth and complexity as it pertains to reading comprehension. And so you definitely want to bring in some fantasy, bring in some nonfiction, some biography, some historical fiction, some science fiction, and allow students to see this wide range of text and get this experience with it. And then they can be able to use that as they're exploring texts on their own. Ever wonder why students can't seem to retain those key vocabulary words? Is it a struggle to make vocabulary stick in your students' minds long after the quiz is over? Do you feel like you have run out of creative ways to teach new words? Well, I hear you, and the answer is here. A resource that weaves vocabulary development seamlessly into writing exercises. You can seriously watch your students' word knowledge and writing competence grow together effortlessly and enjoyably. It's truly the dual power approach that you've been waiting for. Enriching vocabulary while polishing writing skills. And now, my vocabulary writing prompts are offered by grade level. I know, it might sound too good to be true, but if you're curious to experience the transformation firsthand, I want you to grab a free sample compiled just for you. Ideal for second to sixth grade educators, you can now try a tailored vocabulary writing prompt for each grade level. Witness the spark of interest and the growth in your students' writing abilities yourself. You can find this download in the show notes, but you could also head to theliteracydive.com/vocabulary and download your free sample today. Step into a new world where vocabulary learning is engaging, effective, and exciting. Do not miss out on this opportunity to revolutionize the way that you teach vocabulary. When it comes to weak fluency, you will want to prioritize repeated readings. Now, this can look a variety of ways, but this is just the practice of reading the same text multiple times to improve speed, accuracy, and expression. This can be done whole group, small group, with a partner pair, or independently. So repeating a simple phrase or a simple couple of sentences repetitive times, that is going to build that fluency up. You also want to focus on guided oral reading. And this is where you're going to provide opportunities for students to read aloud with guidance and with feedback during your small group session. So I often like to think that whenever you are collecting those notes on your students, when you're listening to them, that is a great opportunity to go ahead and correct in the moment or offer them feedback or even model for them what that should sound like. Because if we can increase this fluency, we already know that it's going to then increase that comprehension where they're going to hear the sentences smoothly with expression, and it's going to make all of the other puzzle pieces connect. Another strategy that I found extremely helpful to kind of build upon this fluency piece is having a recording or a listening center in your class. Sometimes kids simply cannot hear how they sound, and so if they have the ability to record themselves reading a portion of a text that is not designed to trick them, but more so to support fluency, then they will be able to play back that audio, or you can play back that audio, and they can hear how they sound, and you can use that as a teachable moment for them. And so from there, you can set goals together to make improvements to support that fluency piece. So there's just so many things that you can do for the fluency, but if our students are not reading with that, you know, that accuracy and the expression and have that correct speed and intonation, it is really going to be challenging for comprehension to build the way that we want it to build in upper elementary. All right, now I want to move on to inadequate comprehension strategies. And this is just going to be, again, when these comprehension strategies that we need to teach, summarizing, inferring, making predictions, when those are not strong, we call them inadequate, and that's going to really, really cause comprehension to not be as strong as we want it. So one thing that you can focus on is that strategy instruction. This is where you are going to place a really, really, really intentional focus on teaching specific comprehension strategies explicitly, such as summarizing, questioning, visualizing, predicting, and you're going to want to give each component its own exposure and time for exploration. You will want to include the name of the strategy, a definition through an I can statement, and examples or questions that students should be able to think about. Again, I love using think questions. So an example of this is if you were wanting to really teach this comprehension strategy of being able to synthesize. So the first thing you'd want to do is you would want to make sure that you're mentioning the word synthesize and having them repeat it as best they can. Then you will want to go into a definition and, if possible, using an I can statement so that they can link it to something that they can do. So you could basically just say, when I want to synthesize, I can combine different ideas in the text along with my own ideas to produce new ideas. You can use whatever language makes it best or easiest for your students. And then after that, you will want to follow it up with giving them a couple of examples of that, or you can give them questions that they can think about. So again, because we're in upper elementary, I like to give them questions that they can think about. So this might sound like, think, How does your thinking grow and change as you read new information? What does the author want you to know and understand as you piece it all together? We are ultimately looking for students to be able to use those guided questions to then think about the text they read and their experience of synthesizing and then putting that into words that will then show their level of comprehension when it comes to that strategy. The same thing would go for developing a summary. If you are wanting to introduce this comprehension strategy, you would first state the strategy that you want them to know, which is a summary or developing a summary. Once they repeat it, you can give them an I can statement. If you want to use the vocabulary term, it could sound like, I can write a summary by listing the important events or facts from the text and not including all of the details. So you just want to basically put that into words of whatever language or idea you want to plant with your students. And that can be something that they will be able to measure when they are determining on their own, am I proficient in this comprehension strategy? When it is time for the question portion, I like to tell them, think. What are the most important events or facts from the text? How can those ideas be restated in your own words in just a few sentences? When students have access to these think guided questions, they will then be able to take a little bit more ownership of their learning and ensure that they are staying right on track with making sure that they are not deviating from what that reading comprehension strategy is really asking for. You might also experiment with think alouds. This is something else that I really love, another strategy I just really, really think is so powerful, because with a think aloud, you will model how to apply these comprehension strategies by thinking aloud while you are reading a text. So if you are visualizing, and the text that you are reading just stated that the clouds were dark and the sky grew gray, well, then you would stop right there. And you would probably look up and say, I saw something really similar last Tuesday right before it started to rain. So I bet that it might rain in this book. And now I'm really wondering what challenges or problems this potential rain might pose for the characters. So that is just a way of thinking aloud and showing your students that because you read this text, it allowed you to visualize this picture of a time when it rained, where you saw those clouds that were dark, you saw that sky that was gray, and you can start using your background knowledge and experience to kind of think about, well, what happened when I saw that? Oh, this might happen in this book as well. And then ultimately, strategy practice. This is giving students plenty of opportunities to practice these strategies in your guided small groups or in a whole group or even in an independent reading setting. Then we have difficulty with text structure. So, like many things, if you're catching on to the strategy here, in order to make sure that your students are strong in this, you will actually have to teach it. So, explicitly teaching students about the different text structures like cause and effect or compare and contrast and how to identify them, you are going to want to look for keywords and organizational patterns that might exist. So for time order and chronology, text structures, that's going to include dates or periods of time and will be listed in order from earliest to the latest or the most current time of the year. And if you are looking at sequence and process text structures, they might use first, next, then, or finally as transition words to move through that procedure. So you really just want to make sure that you're teaching what these text structures are and what key components are connected to them so that when your students read and they can see a transition word or they can see a date or they can see some special feature, they can quickly identify what text structure it is, what it's used for, what it's supposed to do for them, and then they can start engaging in all that comprehension work that is going to follow. Then we have using graphic organizers. Love these. Talk about them a lot. But this is where you will provide graphic organizers that are going to match each text structure to help your students organize and retain that information. So really just using a resource, using some type of graphic or visual to help make that connection and get your students moving through these text structure organizational flows. Then it's going to be text structure practice. And so you just want to engage students in activities that require them to work with different texts, and the text must have different structures. So if you are constantly reverting to a fiction text, that is not helping your students to understand that there are all of these other types of structures that exist. So you'll want to expose them to these different structures and have your students have fun with it. They can discover it within a whole group read aloud. They can be hunting for different transition words or elements that can make it fall within a certain text structure. And then they have to support that with evidence. Or you can use that same type of activity during your small group text that you're using. You could also have task cards for practice that have very simple targeted text structures. Or you can use other implementations where kids can experience these different text structures. So you just have to teach it and give them exposure and practice to it. The last area is going to be a lack of engagement or motivation. And for this, you will want to incorporate their interest. So you can very easily integrate topics of interest into the curriculum whenever you possibly can. And that is going to give your students a little bit of a boost and a little bit of some point scoring in that engagement and motivation category. You will want to give students a possible interest survey and bring those topics that they say that they're interested in into your reading block or into your content areas and use that corresponding image in your examples to spark that interest and engagement. So the big questions are, what are my students interested in and how do I bring that experience into my lesson? Tons of fun. Then you will also want to offer choice in reading selections. You will want to allow students to choose books or texts that interest them, and this is all to increase engagement. This is just going to be reading for fun, which should be incorporated into your school week in some form or fashion. So you can use your school library, the public library, to gather various books for students to read for their personal choice and personal selection, but this also can include diversity and ensuring that books are made available that represent the students in your class. So whether that be by race, by gender, by unique features like I wear glasses, I wear braces, or even unique abilities and disabilities. So just making sure that you have choices, because that can definitely appeal to some of your students who lack that motivation, and that can get them reading. And then using technology. This is going to be where you can incorporate ebooks or audiobooks, educational apps, anything like that to make reading more engaging. You might want to move away from only offering traditional hardback or paperback books. And my guess is that you may really be surprised at the shift in motivation and willingness to read by just diversifying your options and making that small tweak in the delivery of how your students can access books. I hope that this episode has inspired you to just take action in identifying what foundational areas might be present within my students and how can I build my action plan to help them. As you can see, these strategies are beneficial for literally all students, and they're actually going to make the learning experiences fun, interesting, and inviting, not only for them, but hopefully for you as well. You can take this active role in addressing those fundamental and academic challenges that limit students within their reading comprehension by tailoring these interventions to the needs of those individual students and providing that consistent support and feedback that are key to fostering improvement in this area. If you know of someone who could benefit from this particular episode, please share this with them. There are resources that are linked for you in the show notes that align with the focus of this episode topic, so be sure to check out the show notes for additional support and guidance. I have also linked to the free resource shared last week, which is the Context Clues Activity Pack, so make sure to download it in the show notes or head to theliteracydive.com/contextclues to grab that free download. Next week, I will be unpacking the second big focus area of why comprehension is challenging for kids, and that will cover the interventions for those five cognitive factors that I shared previous to now. Until then, keep diving into comprehension. Thank you so much for tuning in today. Be sure to click that follow button so you never miss a new episode. And if you are enjoying what you hear, please consider sharing this podcast with a friend. Until the next episode, we can hang out over on Instagram at The Literacy Dive, and you can search The Daily Writing Disguise in your web browser to dive into a stockpile of creative writing activity collections created by me with student engagement in mind. For literacy resources and support, you can search The Literacy Dive on TPT. I'll catch you in the next episode.